This is The Session, a weekly preview of the policy moving through the 67th session of the Montana Legislature. I'm Shaylee Reiger. I cover the State House for Montana Public Radio.
I'm Kevin Trevlin. I cover the State House for Yellowstone Public Radio, and I'm also a Report for America fellow.
And I'm Eric Dietrich. I cover the State House for Montana Free Press.
It's week four of the session. 375 bills have been introduced. One bill has become law. This week, we're watching bills aimed at housing, voting, and starter teacher pay. Eric, you've been following some policy about affordable housing coming up this week. Talk me through what you're tracking.
Housing policy hasn't really been a huge focus of the legislature historically, but it's becoming more, seems to be becoming potentially more of one this session as housing prices rise in certain communities. I'm watching a few different bills where lawmakers are trying to tackle that issue in different ways. The first was House Bill 21, which actually passed the House this last week, headed onto the Senate now. And that expands an existing program that the legislature passed last session, which lets the Montana Board of Housing use a portion of the state coal trust as a bank to help offer low-interest loans to affordable housing developers.
You're not just watching House Bill 21, right? There's other legislation aimed at housing coming up this week.
Yeah, one I'm pretty excited about, actually, in the geekiest way possible, is House Bill 134, which is sponsored by Representative Danny Tenenbaum out of Missoula. And it's kind of a big deal bill in that it would limit the zoning powers Montana cities of 50,000 people or more have to designate certain neighborhoods as like only single family home neighborhoods. Tenenbaum's argument, which is something we hear consistently on kind of the left side of the far left side of the political spectrum nationally, is that zoning regulations put an artificial constraint on housing supply. And you know, he says that, hey, those regulations drive up the prices, so housing is less affordable than it would be if, say, it was easier for somebody to, you know, build a duplex in those neighborhoods or convert an existing single family home to a triplex or a fourplex.
So that's the argument for this legislation. What might we hear from opponents this week?
Yeah, so there are two things I'm expecting to hear. One is there's a local control argument. Like, why should the state legislature tell cities what they can and can't do? Shouldn't we leave that to, like, our city commissions and mayors closer to home? And that's a little bit more of a philosophical argument. But the practical argument is, like, zoning regulations exist because people like them. People like to have certainty about what exists in their neighborhoods and what their neighbors can do with their property. And I used to cover City Hall in Bozeman, and I spent a lot of time in city commission meetings where people were worried about something happening near them that would basically diminish their ability to enjoy their home. I looked at it one way, this is an attack on that. There also is an argument out there that that sentiment is something that has prevented affordable housing from being constructed in communities, particularly places like Central Bozeman and Missoula that are increasingly expensive and increasing, and fewer and fewer people can afford to really buy in and like get to live in those neighborhoods. It's going to be super interesting to see how this debate plays out because like the Tenenbaum is essentially making an anti-regulation argument, which is something we hear at a lot of the legislature, but usually from conservative Republicans. And he's very much a liberal Democrat. And it sounds like the opposition to this is likely to come from other Democrats.
There are a lot of other bills we'll be watching this week as well. Kevin, you're watching bills aimed at voting and how the state conducts elections. Is that right?
Right. Senate Bill 92 from Republican Senator Gordon Vance of Belgrade would require appointed county elections administrators to instead run for office in partisan elections. And Vance said this is something that his constituents have been wanting.
There are a lot of people who feel that anyone who runs an election anywhere in the state of Montana should be accountable to the voters, and that's the only way to do that.
Kevin, how many counties would this apply to?
So this would only apply to 8 of Montana's 56 counties, according to Ravalli County Clerk and Recorder Regina Plettenberg. And that includes larger counties like Missoula and Yellowstone, and then smaller ones like Lake and Petroleum. In those other counties, the elections administrator is actually the clerk and recorder, which is already an elected position. Plettenberg is the legislative chair of the Montana Association of Clerks and Recorders, which does oppose the bill. She says appointed elections administrators are already accountable to the public through the commissioners who appoint them. And her other point was that elections officials in the counties where they're appointed didn't apply for their jobs with the knowledge that they'd have to run in these partisan elections to keep them.
I think our association, we do approach elections, bills, everything that we do in a bipartisan manner, because we realize that, you know, the positions we're in, our job is to administer elections, not to get into the politics.
Plettenberg is an elections administrator, but she has to run for elected office because she's also Ravalli County's clerk and recorder. And despite it being a partisan position, she says she really has to make an effort during campaign season to avoid politics so people don't think the elections office is biased. But like Eric said earlier, it's kind of a local control argument. The Clerks and Recorders Association really wants county-level decision-making on elections and which offices are elected. They want that to remain local with the county commissioners.
Senator Vance has another election-related bill that's coming up this week, right?
Yeah, and his other bill would require poll watchers to be allowed at mail ballot drop-off locations. And unlike the bill I just spoke about, Vance said this proposal was spurred by the 2020 election, which most counties held with an emphasis on greater mail-in ballot access.
Poll watching is something we heard a lot about in the news during the 2020 election. So is this also tied to kind of that national dialogue about poll watching?
Vance didn't tie it specifically to national politics, but you're right. A lot of President Trump's legal challenges were based around Republicans allegedly weren't allowed to watch the polls. Most of his legal team's claims did not hold up in court. Shaylee, what are you watching this week?
This week I'm going to watch a bill aimed at teacher pay in Montana. So Representative Lou Jones, who's a Republican from Conrad, is carrying House Bill 143. It would allocate roughly $2.5 million from the state's general fund to create an incentive program for Montana school districts to pay their starting teachers a higher salary. Montana is ranked last right now in starter teacher pay in the country.
So we're last in the country for starting teacher pay, but aren't things a little bit better for more experienced teachers?
Right. Montana's pretty middle of the road in terms of teacher pay for people who have been teaching for 10 years, 20 years. Montana does okay, but it's starter teacher pay where it really drops off.
So it sounds like there's a little bit of they're trying to incentivize tighter pay bands with this, aren't they?
That's exactly how this incentive would work. And I'll note that Representative Jones has said this probably isn't going to work for every single school district. The idea is to make starter teacher pay more commensurate with what school districts are paying more experienced teachers.
And some schools will choose not to do it. I think some of the one-room schoolhouses will choose not to do it. Others will choose to do it, but we will begin to hold the conversation that beginning teachers' wages in Montana need to be addressed.
And it sounds like there's already a decent amount of support for this proposal, right, Shaylee?
That's right. So Jones has been working with Republican Governor Greg Gianforte on this legislation. During his campaign, Gianforte made raising starter teacher pay a key promise. And the concept for House Bill 143 was actually outlined in his proposed budget that was released a couple weeks ago. And also those who lobby for public school interests are backing the bill. So Amanda Curtis is president of the Public Employee Union that represents public school teachers. And she says this policy isn't perfect. It's not going to solve the problem in every school district, but it is a step in the right direction.
We are very low compared to the rest of the nation. We do have an issue with recruiting teachers in Montana, and pay is a huge issue in that.
Jones did say that there are some real fiscal hawks at the legislature who think schools are already receiving too much state funding, and so they might push back against this policy. So those are some of the bills that we'll be watching this week. Governor Greg Gianforte is expected to give his first State of the State address on Thursday, so we'll be watching that as well. Kevin, Eric, thanks so much for taking the time this week.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
This has been The Session, a weekly preview of the action at the Montana State House during the 2021 legislative session. From Montana Free Press, Montana Public Radio, and Yellowstone Public Radio, thanks for listening.